Blog Talk Radio.
And I said before, if you want to find a lot of demons, go to church. There you can be sure you'll find a bunch. They're roosting all over God's people. They're binding them down. They're choking them off. And somebody has to care because people are bound. And if it isn't the chosen of God, I don't know who's going to care. If it isn't those whom God has called out, if they don't care enough to lay their lives on the line, I don't know who's going to do it. As the sad scripture says, I looked for a man and I found none. God looked for a man. He couldn't find anybody. Everybody was doing their own thing. God is calling a people to war. All out war. A war in which no quarter is given and no quarter is asked. The order of the day remains. Attack, attack, attack. That's God's marching order.
All right, welcome to the Omega Man Radio Show. It's going to be my pleasure and honor to have special guest Stan and Elizabeth Madrick of DemonBuster.com on the show tonight. It's going to be a great program. Get your coffee ready. Get out the sword, the word of God. Okay, let's go right to the phones and get the guest on. Reverend Madrick, are you on with us tonight?
Hello.
Okay, there you go. How are you all tonight?
I was okay until you, did I hear you say Reverend? Read their article about Reverend on our website.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh. Call no man Reverend, the Bible says.
Wow. That is good to know. We have on the air with us tonight Brother and Sister Madrick of DemonBuster.com. Folks, it is a pleasure to have you on tonight on this show. I'm going to turn the mic over to you. What's the Lord put on your heart tonight?
Oh, well, maybe just tell you a real quickie about us. We've been doing deliverance for December, 23 years. And we've been on the Internet ever since, I guess, they got started with normal things. It's about 15 years or so. And that's in the last 10 years, probably. Our ministry has mostly been the Internet. And that's my full-time job here behind the computer, taking phone calls and emails from all over the world. And Elizabeth is a full-time legal secretary, and she helps when she gets home. And we've got countless number of people.
Now, Stan, if someone goes to the Internet and they type in exorcisms, deliverance, 9 out of 10 times, they're going to come up with your website. Your website is demonbuster.com. You have one of the most extensive websites I've ever seen on the subject of deliverance. How long ago did y'all put the website up, and what got you started in it?
Well, what got us started in deliverance?
Absolutely. Let's roll the clock back.
Roll back. As most Christians have been taught, Christians cannot have demons. Of course, that's a lie. So I believe what I was taught, Christians cannot have demons. And this charismatic-type church I had been going to for 4 or 5 years, we had a deliverance minister who would come through. She was also an evangelist. Every couple of months, she'd teach on deliverance. After she got done there, she'd walk down the aisles and pull people out and start doing deliverance on them. And every time she walked by me and didn't pull me out, that just verified to me that I did not have any demons. Of course, that was a lie. And anyhow, it turned out that woman she's now with the Lord right now, but she's the one who married Elizabeth and I shortly thereafter. And that same woman did deliverance on me for the very first time, and I had tons of demons that came out. And we've been doing deliverance ever since. So that's basically how we got started in it. And not knowing anything about anything, the first deliverance ministry that we ran across was Gene Erling Moody, who you had on your program.
Yes, sir.
We've learned everything that we know from Gene and Erling, and also from Win Worley's material. And there's several other ministries where we heard from them or got some material from them or some tapes from them. And we believe that although some people won't believe even what we're going to tell you tonight, tell the audience tonight, it's fact, it's true. And when you learn something new, instead of saying, oh, I don't know if that works, you should just do it. And And one real, to start off, one big one right here is people get thoughts that they're not supposed to have. Okay, Christians have thoughts they're not supposed to have. And from another ministry about, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so ago, this guy also is with the Lord. The devil takes out a lot of deliverance ministries for some reason. Well, I know the reason. But anyhow, he says that when you get a thought you don't want, here's what you say: in Jesus' name, I circumcise these thoughts. Now, when I first read that, I said, oh, yeah, right, sure, uh-huh. Well, guess what? I tried it because it was something new, and it works. It is a very, very good weapon, and that goes for any kind of weapon. If you get any kind of thought, if you're sitting in church and thinking about a hamburger, you can get rid of that thought by just saying, in Jesus' name, I circumcise these thoughts. And so that's something that everybody should write down and use. It's also on our webpage, matter of fact, the first article on our index, number one, a bunch of spiritual warfare prayers, and use that one. Something I just learned new also just the other day, I was listening to you and Pat Holiday, and something I had never heard before: when she binds up demons, she puts them in a cage. Well, I've never heard that before, and just like the circumcising the thoughts, I said, hey, I'm going to start doing that. So we've been doing that too.
Praise God. You're honest, brother, and for someone to say, hey, I figured out everything there is to do with the deliverance, they would really be a liar, because I don't think anybody has come to a full knowledge, even Brother Win Worley. You know, one of the greatest pioneers of all time, folks, in deliverance, he would always say, look, we're all students.
That's right. You could learn something new every day from, you know, the Holy Ghost also reveals stuff, as does any deliverance ministry. I'll use the word unfortunate that so many ministries, deliverance ministries, especially on the internet, you've got to charge to get any free help. It ain't free if they charge it. You've got to buy a book or tape or something like that. And so that's one thing, as you mentioned, our website is, totally free. We got nothing to sell on there. And if you printed it all, which I do not recommend, there's over 4,000 pages of material.
Wow.
All of Gene Moody's material is on our website, Gene Erling Moody. And you can buy hard copies from him, very inexpensive. But, I say, why buy it when you can read it right on large print on your computer? But some people just like to have it printed out. And his information is also on our website for anyone who is interested in purchasing his material.
Absolutely. Praise God. Yeah, with regards to the putting him into a cage, or even Brother Worley would use the term box sometimes.
Box, let me interrupt you there.
Yes, sir.
I might interrupt you a lot. I could talk for hours and hours and hours about deliverance, and I jump around all over the place because I just want to get as much information out as possible. But the box that did come from Win Worley, and that is, to me, the most effective weapon that in the arsenal of deliverance ministers if they use it. Put the demons in the box. And we have an article on the website called The Box. And I asked, before Wynn went to be with the Lord, I asked him, I couldn't find box in the Bible. I said, where did that come from? And he gave me this scripture about the one scripture where they put the five kings in the cave, sealed them up in the cave.
Yes, sir.
And, well, that don't say box. Another one was, I sealed up my iniquities in a bag. Well, that doesn't say box neither. But the box works. Now, the box, we use the box as a last alternative for when a demon will not leave. Now, you can put them in a cage, and that's, you could do that all the time. But the box is used mainly when you're casting demons out of somebody, and you're trying, and that demon just ain't budging. And all I say, Elizabeth says, we say, all right, do you want to go in the box? And if the demon's talking, he'll say no, or he'll shake his head no, or he'll say, yeah, put me in the box. And most of the time, they don't want to get in the box because they know. You can't explain most things in deliverance. It's just, it's not in the Bible, but it works. And they are fearful of the box.
Well, I think good reason. I remember hearing the testimony of Brother Worley one time where he said once they learned the reality of being able to box up these demons. And folks, let me back up a little bit. What had happened prior to that is in the early days, Brother Worley was working as a school teacher by day, And he would do ministry at night and on the weekends. And, you know, they'd get a call, a lady or a man would need deliverance in the evening. They'd go over him and the other brethren, and they would start working on this thing, you know, doing the deliverance session, the exorcism. And, you know, these things can go on for hours, folks. And it would get into the wee hours of the morning. Everybody would be tired and worn out. And, you know, back in the day, they didn't know about binding up these demons, putting them into boxes, cages. And, you know, if you didn't follow through, brother, correct me if I'm wrong, until the end and get this demon exorcised, and you'd be in some trouble if you stopped the deliverance session. You know, who knows what might happen. That person might run off, commit suicide. Any number of things could happen.
That is possible. And something, would you like you to change your vocabulary one word? When you're learning about deliverance, you change a lot of things in your vocabulary, things you stop.
Yes.
And you've used the word exorcism a couple of times. Exorcism is a bad word.
Okay.
It's just bad. The Jewish religion, they do exorcisms. The Bible talks about that. The Catholic religion does exorcisms. Christians don't do exorcisms. They do deliverance. And as Win Worley once explained about exorcism, we do have an article on our website. I think we got, number 49, exorcism is not deliverance. Win Worley says that if someone's doing exorcism on you, now, those real deliverance ministers that, you know, use the word exorcism, I don't think this applies, but they should just change the vocabulary too. Win Worley said that if somebody comes, say, Catholic priest, and they cast out a headache out of somebody, then they're replacing it with a tumor. Because of, I would say, because of who is doing it, or maybe, I hate to call it a denomination, but that's how it boils down to, is why you just change your vocabulary.
You hear it a lot, I guess, in the Catholic churches, don't you?
Right, yeah.
Absolutely. We don't hold any punches here, folks. And this is live radio, so you never know what you may get. But, I'm here to learn. I confess I'm only a student, and I've been involved in about five deliverance sessions myself with other people. And, you know, and we've seen these demons manifest, folks. If you really want to be in for a treat, go up to Hegewich for one of the deliverance conferences. I was up there at number 92, and that was just what an experience. And back to the point here, so Brother Worley and the group would be doing the deliverance session, and they didn't know about binding up these demons. So, you know, if they were to have stopped prematurely before the end of the deliverance session, a person could be in some dangerous trouble. Yeah, at the same time, what do you do? It's 3 in the morning. You got to get up and go teach the next morning, you know? So someone said, hey, Jesus said binding and loosing, you know, the keys of the kingdom. You know, binding is to tie up, to cage up, you know, I mean, to, you know, to arrest, handcuff. So they started binding, and sure enough, what it affected, brother, if correct me if I'm wrong, is it actually tied up these demonic spirits and allowed everybody to go take a break, get some rest, and then come back and resume the deliverance session later. It put things on hold, so to speak, so that the person receiving deliverance could get rest, and then the people doing deliverance could, you know, make time for their work schedules and come back the next night. So they tried it, and it worked. And sure enough, that's part of the binding that Jesus gave us in the keys of the kingdom. But, caging, boxing up these demons works. Brother Worley used the scripture about, you know, putting the five kings into the cave. And as Brother Madrek says here, you know, we're fighting a spiritual enemy. You can't fight them with fleshly weapons. You know, you don't pick up a .45 and shoot a demon. It's not going to work. You've got to use the word of God. And, you know, try the word out. If it doesn't work, it won't work. But you may discover some new truth as we dig into the Word, and we find out that there's all kinds of spiritual weapons embedded. I remember Brother Worley said one of the demons during an interrogation said, hey, if you Christians only knew the power you have and the spiritual weapons, you know, we wouldn't stand a match. So, and that's the truth. We may have only scratched the surface, folks.
Yep. Now, the binding also is for your protection. See, like when we start a deliverance session with somebody, the first part of what we do, start off the bat, is we bind up all the demons. That, you know, that binding is binding. And so when we first got started 23 years ago, we had them lined up the door coming to our home for deliverance. And we had this guy, this young guy, about 22, came in and said that he was an ex-Satanist. Now, I've heard that there really are no ex-Satanists, but I don't know. But he said he was. And so just like we've done is, you know, we bound up all his demons and asked for the Lord to cover all of us with the blood of Jesus and protect us with the giant warrior angels. And before we knew that you should not, when you're taking someone through deliverance, don't allow them to cross their arms or cross their legs. We learned that from Gene Moody.
Wow.
Legs, that's a sign of rebellion, you know, like I ain't going to come out. So anyhow, so he had his arms crossed. And we had bound up his demons, so I'm casting out all these demons, and he's sitting in a chair, and he's moving his shoulders back and forth, almost violently, and with deliverance, you can stop right now and go get your cup of coffee and come back and continue. And so we stopped, and I said, what was all the gyrations with your shoulders? Now here's what he told me. He says, I was trying to punch you in the face. I could not get my arms untied.
Wow.
He was super, the human was supernaturally bound up, and he didn't get free until we stopped deliverance. So that's one reason, or another reason, why you bind up all the demons no matter where you go. You grocery store, you go to church, walking down the street, anybody you run into, you got to work with, you bind up all their demons in the name of Jesus. And now you know to put them in the cage, too.
Now, you know, back to the issue of why these demons hate it so much, folks. I tell you what can happen. You know, Jesus gives you authority as a believer to cast out these demons, to tread on these serpents and scorpions. You know, you've got power over them in the name of Jesus. And Brother Worley one time shared a story where he was doing a deliverance session, and he bound this evil spirit, put it into a box, a cage, and they had to interrupt the deliverance session. Well, that lady took off and didn't come back for 3 months. She shows up in service one day, and they start the deliverance session back, and the demon manifests this time and, you know, started cursing out Worley and says, let me out of this cage. I've been in here 3 months. So they know that. I mean, you know, I guess it's conceivable they could be trapped in there for a long time.
Yeah, and we don't know how long they can be bound when you bind them. You know, I kind of hate telling stories. I'd rather just teach about what I know, but one of the first stories we heard from another guy who said that he saw a demon. There was a demon in his house. Now, some people can see demons and some people cannot. I have never seen a demon and don't want to and don't need to. But he saw this demon and was in his house walking around, and he knew that he could bind the demon. So he said, in Jesus' name, I'll bind you up. And he said this demon was standing between his living room and his kitchen doorway for 6 months. It just was standing there.
Wow.
Now, the guy at this point did not have the knowledge that he could command the demon to leave. He had only heard about binding. So when he heard that he could get rid of it in the name of Jesus, he just said, in Jesus' name, I command you to leave, and that thing was gone. So we know that that demon was able to be bound for 6 months just standing there.
Good grief.
I would have thought that I would have grabbed somebody and said, hey, get rid of this thing for me.
Now, Sister Madrak, you feel free to chime in any time. This is a free-for-all mic.
I want to go back to the beginning where Stan was telling about how we got in deliverance and stuff. And one thing that I always like to tell people, to let them know before it's too, you know, gets to a point, a lot of people and most people come to the knowledge of deliverance because they are desperate. They are having physical problems, life-threatening, and they're having mental problems and all the anxiety and depression and things that are going on where they have to take the medications and things because the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, because you don't understand those are demons operating in your soulish realm, you think, I've got to have this medicine to get over this. Well, I was at that point where I sought deliverance out of desperation. I was beginning to have anxiety attacks. Nobody could tell me what it was. I've been to the doctor, been in the hospital, you know, all this stuff. And one minister even told me what it was, but he couldn't help me. And so that's when the lady that Sam was talking about earlier, she recognized that in me, and she did deliverance with me. But with Stan's case, he did it because he said, after he learned a little bit about deliverance, he said, if there's anything in me, I want it out. And
yes,
that's when he submitted for deliverance, because he wasn't sure if there was anything there, but he went through the deliverance. So he wasn't desperate, but for the people that are listening, you know, start now. Do it now. Pray, you know, seek help if you need help and you're not sure just how to do it or whatever. And that's just an area that people really need to understand.
Where do the demons actually inhabit a person? I know Derek Prince kind of corrected the term possession. He said really the correct term would be demonized. Number one, do you agree with that assessment? Okay.
We tell people when they're using their Bible, especially King James, to scratch out that word possessed. It's not even in the original. It means, as Derek said, it means demonized or having demons. Because he possessed, I say there is very, very few people that are actually possessed. That means totally, they're, you know, usually they're locked up someplace and on drugs, which is the demon's second choice. They'd rather control you, but if they can't control you, they'd rather have drugs control you.
Wow.
And so just having demons, but see, the demons, people say, well, how can a Christian have demons? I get this a lot, mostly in email, light and darkness can't dwell in the same place. That's not even a scripture, you know, but it's something that you hear all the time because it's coming from the mouth of a demon. But see, we are body, soul, and spirit, okay? Now, the demons cannot get into our spirit, all right? That's where Jesus is located there, the Holy Spirit is located there. They cannot get in there. But your body, well, you been sick lately? Yeah. Get headaches? Yeah. You got cancer, Christian? Yeah, some of them do. Why? If by your stripes we are healed, why do we have cancer or other sicknesses? Well, we don't know why. Nobody can tell you why. Some say, well, your faith ain't strong enough. Well, I don't think so. Okay, so they can get in your body, any part of your body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions.
That's three areas right there, right?
All the time. Depression is caused by a demon. So we had a guy when we first got started. It seems we had most of our really good cases, I'll call them, back when we first got started. But this guy was involved in pornography, and the first of every month he had to go to the bookstore to buy all the new porno magazines. And see, he had no control over that. The demons was in his will. They took him to the bookstore and did, you know, put books there. So they can get in your will, your emotions, and your mind. You get thoughts you ought not to have. Demons will talk to people. Usually it's not audibly. If a demon is talking to you audibly, you have an advanced case of demonization, and it's usually part schizophrenic or full schizophrenic with a split personality, and that could take quite a while to get out. But see, what happens is, since they cannot get in your spirit, what they do is they, you know, they're all inside your body, inside your, you know, call it a body, your being, your human, like one guy calls it an earth suit. This is our earth suit. And the demons are all in there, and they are in there, by the way, because Jesus said to cast them out. To cast them out, they have to be in. And so the demons surround your spirit. Like if you put something in the palm of your hands and squeeze your two palms together real tight, that's what the demons do. They squeeze your spirit. You can't do the things that God wants you to do. You can't pray. You can't read the Bible. You can't do this or that. And once you start deliverance, that you start getting rid of all the ones you know about, and then ones you may not even know that you ever had, and then your spirit is really released, and you're able to, you just see, it's a totally new walk with the Lord. And that's what deliverance does for you. It gives you a better and closer walk with the Lord while you're here on the earth. Everybody,
now,
wait till you get to heaven.
That's what you're exactly right. I think until we get to heaven, we're probably going to continue to have to battle these things. Can a Christian do self-deliverance on themselves, or do they need to go to a deliverance minister?
If a person does not do self-deliverance or is not willing to do self-deliverance, we will not help them. I mean, that is our rules. And here's the reason why. Jesus said that when demons are cast out, they go to dry places. All right, then what does it say? It says they're looking around and they're coming back to that same person to see if they're doing the things that they're supposed to be doing in the Lord. I'm paraphrasing here. And to me, deliverance is part of that. So if they are not continuing in self-deliverance, Jesus says that they're going to be getting seven more wicked demons, and that would be for every demon cast out.
Oh.
So if you cast just seven demons out, they're getting 49 new ones. We're wicked. And so it is vital, and it's really a big part of our ministry, is to teach people deliverance. And again, that's part of what our website is all about, to teach you what you're supposed to do. Now, there are times when you've been hassling with, or you just are having a really hard time. Let's say you got just a really bad temper. Almost everybody has a temper. And you've tried everything. You've done self-deliverance. You've fasted and prayed, and you just can't get rid of this thing. There's nothing wrong, and you should try to find yourself another Christian. I kind of don't even like to use the word deliverance minister, because every Christian, every believer, is supposed to be a deliverance minister.
Okay.
Mark 16:17, Jesus said, "Those that believe shall cast out demons." That's every Christian. You can't get around that scripture. There's a lot of scriptures with you need an interpretation or an opinion. You know, just look at the book of Revelation. But Mark 16:17 you can't twist that no how. Those that believe shall cast out demons. And so I've never had anybody tell me that no, I'm not going to do self-deliverance.
Now, I know demons have to have legal grounds to be in a person. That's they've come in through some sin.
Nope.
Am I correct?
True. Not true.
Okay.
That's it. I'm going to teach you all kinds of good stuff.
If I bring up a myth, I want you to correct me. I mean, I know about sins of the father, and you know, a demon could be in a baby from birth. You know.
Absolutely, they are demons.
Rejection of the womb. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Or 9 months before, the demons that. Whatever demons the mother and father had, and grandparents had, and great-great-grandparents had, that child in the womb probably has. And that's why anyone listening who's pregnant should cast out demons out of their unborn child. There's nothing
okay.
wrong with doing that, and you should do that.
So these demons will come down the generational lines.
That's right.
Would that be properly termed a familiar spirit?
No. Well, it could be, but see, a familiar spirit basically is one, the easiest way to show you this would be if it's bad to do it, but if you've maybe seen on TV or even heard about it, when somebody goes to a seance, which is, evil side, of the dark side of everything,
okay.
and they bring up Aunt Matilda. Aunt Matilda's hanging up there on a ceiling floating around.
Oh.
Well, see, the people in the room recognize that person because the demon makes that person familiar. It's a
okay.
familiar spirit. So that's our definition of a familiar spirit.
Okay. So we have demons that can come in just by being, a child, and it comes through your parents. I know you can pick up demons through fornication, soul ties.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Outside of marriage.
More important, and some of... We say, oh, no, that's not, you can't do that. When we hang up this telephone here, part of our, what I call daily deliverance, is I say, Father, and this is on our website, I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I command every demon that has followed us, sent to us, or transferred to us to leave us now in the name of Jesus. Because
okay.
demons can come through the telephone.
Wow.
When you talk to somebody that's depressed, and this is how we learned this. Elizabeth, I'm going to let Elizabeth tell you about this when she was talking to this person who was depressed.
Yeah. Well, I was at work one day, and one of our clients called, and he was talking about business, and I just said to him, I said, "You really sound depressed," and he says, "Yeah, I have a problem with that." So I told him a little bit about the Lord and everything that I, while we were on the phone, and then we ended the conversation. Well, about 20 minutes later, I was making some copies at the copy machine, and all of a sudden, and I've never had a problem with depression. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, or out loud, whatever, I said, I am so depressed. What is this? And then the Holy Spirit told me that's when that thing transferred from him to me. And it's like he still had it, but I had it too. So that's how we learned that, just that lesson right there.
And see, so a lot of things that we learn is just contradicts what other ministries might even be doing or teaching or believing. But firsthand knowledge is how you arrive at a lot of this. And once you learn about it, again, it's like circumcising the thoughts. Try it. You'll like it. And I like to use the term clone. The demons clone themselves. Because if, like Elizabeth said, that guy was still depressed and then she was depressed. Well, was that a separate demon that transferred? No. It cloned itself. It made, you can't explain a lot of things that go on. But cloning, I think everybody knows what cloning is. It's the same kind of demon or same kind of critter.
And another experience that testimony that we've had is where ministers, some of these ministers their main ministry would be ministering to other ministers. They would come like to a retreat or whatever, and they would lay hands on them and they would pray. They were having problems, you know, like some of the church pastors and leaders have with, you know, other women or other men and things like that. Well, about 2 years later, this one particular minister that did a lot of that, laying hands on and praying for, he never commanded anything that transferred or followed or was sent to him to leave him. And he ended up running away with the secretary of their ministry and leaving his wife and children, the exact same thing that he was praying for other ministers about.
I would have to agree with you all. I know a personal firsthand story of a girl whose father was a warlock, and the mother divorces him. And, you know, he was angry about the divorce, and he would actually attach demons to letters and mail them to this lady. And the girl relates that she would watch her mother cringe every time she'd stick her arm in the mailbox, so she would stick it in there. And then sometimes if one of these demonized letters were there, she would see things crawling up the arm. I mean, she had this ability to see it. So I know you can mail them. Now, let me ask you something off the wall, but I know people can tap you, put a magic touch on you. You could be in the room. Apparently, they can jump off. Could you eat a pork chop and eat a demon and get it that way? Because I know pork is unclean, and could a demon be attached to a pork chop?
A demon can be attached to anything. But since you mentioned pork, and you already said it's an unclean, and let's just, now this has got nothing to do with deliverance, okay? The Bible is clear that we are not to eat certain things, all right? Perfectly, pork was one. You're not supposed to eat any kind of, anything that comes from a pig. And that's, pork chop, bacon. Recently learned that on pizza, pepperoni comes from a pig. It's pork.
I had to resist that today. I had to go with cheese, no pepperoni. Go ahead, brother.
And but see, now what happens is false teaching, not intentionally false, but it's common false teaching, is that, Jesus said you can eat anything you want. Well, no, he didn't say that. And the only scripture that they use is when Peter had the vision of the sheep coming down with the animals in it. And they say, see, right there it says, don't you call anything unclean that I made. They stop right there with the animals and the sheep. But when you read all the scripture up above it and below it concerning that, it was talking about human beings. Peter, or was it Paul?
Peter.
Peter. Peter was going to see the...
Cornelius.
Cornelius. And they were not permitted to even talk to them, kind of. You know, somebody that was...
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. So he was arguing with the Lord. That's where the Lord had to show him, hey, don't you call no Gentile or Cornelius unclean. Now, why he used the food to come down, I don't know. But so that just totally throws out what's being taught, that you can eat anything that you want. And on a scientific front, using the same thing, since you mentioned pork chop, I have heard two different doctors on two different occasions say you eat a pork chop, it's 20 minutes, 8 here. If you ate a pork chop for supper, that pork chop is going to stay in your system for maybe 30 or 60 days. It does not digest. Pork does not digest, they said, that it stays in your body until it just rots so tiny that finally it just passes through the normal way. But it just does not die. So if nothing else, that would be enough for me to not eat pork, even if I wasn't a Christian.
Well, you know, the pig does not have sweat glands, folks, so it maintains all the toxins. And look at what Jesus did. You know, he cast these unclean spirits into the swine. He wouldn't send it into something clean. They were unclean. And that was, Gentiles over there at that time that were herding those pigs. And so I'll tell you a true story, and that is me and another brother, we dealt with a case, a guy in Texas who remained unnamed, but he had eaten some swine soup, which is kind of a Latino dish. And, you know, ethnic dish, some of these people will, down in Texas will eat blood from swine. You know, they kind of do that over in England, too. I think it's called blood pudding. And he actually picked up a demonic spirit, and he started making swine noises.
Huh.
And so we had to cast out a demon of swine from the guy, and we think he got it through the blood. You know, there's also a warning about life is in the blood. You're not supposed to eat blood. Do you think their demons can be transmitted through the blood in this case?
That's right. The Bible says don't eat no blood products. And, of course, they're, just like you said, there's certain nationalities that's, you know, blood pudding and stuff like that. But see, if you go to you go out to eat any place, we go out to eat a lot, mostly fast food. But when you're praying for your food before you eat it, one of the things you do, how I pray and we pray, is to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this food. I ask that you bless it for the nourishment of our body. I break and return any and all curses on it in Jesus' name. Because,
oh, wow.
Let's say the cook back there flipping them hamburgers is a Satanist or a witch, and he puts a curse on your hamburger. Well, you eat it, and guess what? You're going to get sick. If that's the curse that he placed on your hamburger. So you break and return any and all curses placed on your food.
I like that. I'm going to start using that immediately.
Yep, yeah, it's absolutely. And see, here's the thing. People say, well, you ought not to return no curses, or you ought not to send no curses. And I said, we don't send curses, we return them. Just like if you get a letter in the mail that you're not supposed to have or don't want, it's not yours, what do you do with it? You write on it, return to sender. That's all you do with curses. I kind of stopped mostly using the word curse because there's all kinds of evil that can be sent, and changes to a break and return any and all evil.
The Old Testament talks about the Lord returning their retaliations upon their own heads when they were going to, the other nations were going to harm the Israelites. He, in Leviticus and somewhere else, there's another scripture that says that he returned their retaliation upon their own heads. That what they were intending for the Israelites happened to them. So that's what we use in that. And also with healing, there was times when Jesus, the Bible says Jesus healed the sick, and then there was times when he cast the demons out and they were cured. So sometimes we need healing, and then sometimes because we don't receive our healing, we cast those demons out that cause that manifestation of sickness or disease, as arthritis and some cancers can be caused by bitterness and unforgiveness, and they manifest in your body that way. And so you cast out and forgive and cast out those demons, and you're cured.
If you were just tuning in, you're listening to Omega Man Radio. We've got special guests Stan and Elizabeth Madrick of DemonBuster.com. That is their website. It's one of the best resources for deliverance material I've ever come across, and a lot of free material up there. Most of it, I believe all of it is, and you need to check this out, demonbuster.com.
Shannon, that's demonbuster, singular.
Without the S, correct?
Yeah, if you put an S at the end of it, a Chinese search engine has bought that from some other ministry.
Okay. Stan, I Googled you the other day, and I don't know if this is a true reference, but were you in Vietnam?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're a Vietnam veteran.
Navy.
Did you?
Shipboard.
How long did you spend over there in Nam?
Being on shipboard, we were on three-month cruises, and we went over there. I had four cruises. Fortunately, I wasn't Well, the only time I was inland was when I went made a mail run in Da Nang. And at that time, it seemed exciting. But as I look back on it, how stupid that was for us to even volunteer to do that. And the closest to any hostile action that we saw was, well, on board the ship, I don't know if our guy's shooting down or the bad guy's shooting up at the planes.
Well, I want to salute you and thank you for the service to the country. The reason I asked was I want to know, did you ever encounter any demonic spirits, any deliverance in Nam?
Well, I didn't, you know.
Back during the war.
That was back in the, I wasn't even saved then. That was 1964 to 66. So, you know, I wasn't saved yet, so I didn't know anything about that stuff.
Okay.
But we have had done deliverance on some men that have come from, you know, were in Vietnam and the fighting and everything. And one was the Lord was teaching us about the schizophrenia where this one man had the Sarge, and that was a violent temper and rage. And the Lord just showed us as we did deliverance on this man and with schizophrenia, it's like the real person is kind of buried down inside. And then you've got these personalities. Rejection is the door that opens to a lot of that, and rebellion opens that. And so with all the trauma he went through and all this, one of it was the pastor, I'll say Jim because I don't even remember his name right now, and then the Sarge. So the pastor, you would think the pastor would be okay, good, and all this, but he told us that his mother wanted him to be a preacher, and that's all she ever said to him, you're going to be a preacher, you're going to be a preacher. And I don't know any of the other circumstances right around all that happening, but that was a demonic personality, a schizophrenic personality that was in him that made him a good person, you know, a good guy, seemingly. And then the other side would be the Sarge, where he would become violent and just real had to go to the hospital to get medication and stuff like that. And the Sarge came in through when he was in Vietnam, and that's when that door opened at that time for this personality to raise up and just kind of take over that area of his body and soul and mind. And it was really tremendous because you could watch his face as we dealt with each one of those personalities. Just his facial features kind of changed. You know, you could just see it. It was just slight, but you could just really see it. The Lord really taught us a lot about that, those different personalities and things.
Yeah, you know, I believe that the truth be known, a lot of this post-traumatic stress disorder is probably demonic spirits that these soldiers are bringing back as they encounter these situations where, you know, they're in really violent situations, and I believe that violence can be a gateway for demons to come in.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they bring them back. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned something very important. I think one of the most important subjects we can talk about when we're talking about deliverance, and that is self-defense. You mentioned the example of what a person should do every time they eat, because you don't know who's handling your food, folks. And not only when you eat, but be careful who you have give you a massage if you're walking through the mall and you don't have these massage centers. You know, you could have a Reiki healer, as we found out the other day, with a Reiki expert, you know, and they come and put a demon into you when they just lay the hands on you. But what are some other self-defense that you recommend? Because we don't know who we're dealing with out there when we go out into the world. What else do you recommend?
When you're, no matter where you go, deliverance or spiritual warfare has got to be on your mind. Now, people say, oh, you're paranoid. No, that's a demon, and I don't have that one. It's just like you said, it's self-defense. Now, it's self-defense, you use the word defense, although we're supposed to be on the offense. Maybe you call it self-offense. We're not supposed to wait until we get attacked before we start taking action. We're supposed to be keeping the demons on the run. And so you bind and loose stuff. Okay, we mentioned about that. But your self-deliverance, like, okay, when you get in the car. Again, this is on our number one article on our index on our website. You get in the car, and the demons want to kill you. Okay, they'll send a deer across your path, so you'll hit the deer, or you'll try and avoid the deer and hit a tree or whatever. In 2 years, I hit 4 deer about 10 years ago, and then we learned that we had authority and dominion over the critters. So anyhow, when we get in the car, and any vehicle you get into, even if you're taking a bus someplace, I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority and dominion over animals and demons of the road that they do not cross our path, and I dispatch angels ahead of us to protect us in Jesus' name. And,
okay.
And I cover myself in the roads of the travel with the blood of Jesus. And that's part of your self-defense.
Now that's when you get in the car to travel down the road.
Right.
Let me just back up a minute. What do y'all do, as knowledgeable as you are in deliverance, when you get up in the morning? Do you do anything first thing in the morning? Kind of set off the day with some defensive measures?
Mainly with just worshiping the Lord, because, you know, your strength comes in through your praise and worship. And you need that strength to battle the day. Then we start with our breaking and returning curses and all evil, and we bind the enemy, the power of the enemy. We loose the blessings of God in our lives, and ask the Lord to send his angels out. It's kind of similar. We add a little bit more to that before we get in the car, and just kind of start it out with total protection, you know, praising the Lord, loving the Lord, and doing that, those kind of things.
See, now we don't sit down or kneel down and do this, you know, each morning. The more you do, the more spiritual warfare you do, the more you learn. In my case, I'm almost constant, when I'm not watching TV or reading email or something, I am constantly in my brain, not necessarily out loud, I'm thinking spiritual warfare, or I'm mostly singing, you know, some kind of good songs for the Lord, and it's always in my brain there. I can't really explain how it is. Now, some people say, well, we pray every night before we go to bed. I said, that's a bad idea, because if you do that, if you have a set pattern where you only pray when you get up, or you only pray when you go to bed, or you only pray at noon, the demons are going to take advantage of you the rest of the day. So, see, you've got to be on your guard all day long, and getting back to how demons, or when demons can come into you, when you go into the grocery store, them demons can get into you from anybody in that store. And I think you can get more demons probably when you go into a church atmosphere than in a grocery store, especially if the church does not believe that if the pastor's teaching that Christians cannot have demons, that's what the congregation believes. If it's 10 people or 5,000 people, they all believe that. They all have gazillions of demons.
Yes.
You go in there, well, let me try this church out this weekend. You are opening yourself up to receive all kinds of demons. And if you get into an environment that you have no control over, like you have to work. So when you leave work, when you go to work, you bind up all the demons, first of all. When you leave work, you command every, just like our telephone prayer there, in Jesus' name, I command every demon that's followed me, sent to me, or transferred me to leave me now in Jesus' name. There's your self-protection there. And so you call it defense or offense, whatever. Every once in a while, a demon will pop in here. Now, demons, if you're doing a lot of spiritual warfare and deliverance, demons don't want to hang around your house. They just don't, because you are a threat to them. But nobody can say that, well, no, the demons would never mess with me. I'm too godly. Well, you better not say something like that. So every once in a while, a demon will pop in here, and Elizabeth seems to be more sensitive to it than me, so she'll say something here, and we just stop right there, and we just say, Father, in Jesus' name, we command this demon that's popped in here to leave in Jesus' name.
So let me ask you this. I noticed that when I email you, or go to your website to email you, it says, we accept no email unless you say Jesus is Lord in the subject line.
Okay.
And what is the theory behind that? Let me go ahead and just turn it over to you.
Okay. All right. That was a specific reason for that. And witches do not like to say Jesus is Lord. That was
okay.
The main reason. And so for that's why another reason why I don't have it as a link. You have to type it. You can't click on it.
That would kind of filter out some people who are clearly into witchcraft, because they're not going to put Jesus as Lord, are they?
Right, that's right. And so they got to type in Jesus Lord. Now, the other reason is because when someone sends me an email from our website or about our website, or someone's already communicated with us before, is I have a folder, specific folder, in my email program. So it goes right to that folder, and then I answer that email first instead of, you know, all the other junk that comes through.
I think we can coin a new term tonight. We'll call that a steaming demon spam buster. Now, you know, folks, you may be laughing, but listen, I believe that this is what you got to do. And listen, I'll tell you a true story. I went up to Hegewisch, the famous church of Win Worley up in Highland, Indiana. And one of the things I noticed, for those of you who have never been up there, is you go through almost any entrance, whether it be to the main door, into a bathroom, into the sanctuary, and they have these little placards up over all the doorways that says, anyone that enters in here is covered with the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them over all the entranceways. So what do you think about that?
Do you know? Oh, you don't know why? I'll tell you, we do that every place that we've been, lived, and we've moved a whole bunch of times. And the house we're in now is the longest we've ever been in one place. And when the house was built, I wrote those words on the boards over the doorways and windows before it got sealed off with the, you know, painting and this and that. And now let me tell you where that came from or where I heard it from.
Yes.
It was from a member from Hedgewich Church, and he says that, I forget where they was living, they must have been up there close to Hedgewich someplace, and it was summertime, and they had the door open, and the wife was standing at the kitchen sink doing dishes, and had just emptied the trash, and had an empty paper bag sitting on the floor for her trash, and she heard this rustling next to her, and looked in the bag, and there was a blackbird.
Uh-oh.
And because of the knowledge that they learned from Hedgewich, they commanded that thing to leave, and they said that the I have to change that story just a hair. When the bird tried to get out of the house, the open door, the first time it ran into an invisible shield. It seemed like.
Okay.
The door was open, but it was an invisible shield, and it fell on the floor. And it tried it a couple of times, and it said finally it scooted underneath as far down as low as it could get on the floor, and then flew off.
Good grief.
Why it done that is because of those words that was written over their door.
Would it have to be on the outside or the inside, or does it matter?
It don't matter. It helps. It's just it's another defensive mechanism, you want to call it. It's like anointing yourself with oil. You just do it, and Elizabeth can tell you a dramatic thing about that.
Yeah, when we first got married, and was again just learning about deliverance, the Lord just taught us so much, plus these other ministries. And I was in a one-girl office, but it was in a storefront office. Worked for an attorney, and there was glass windows and everything, and then people would just come in off the street. And there was one, what I call a street person or a homeless person or whatever, that he just, you could tell he talked to himself a lot, and, you know, he didn't have clean clothes and stuff like that. And he would just walk in my office and just start, give me a pencil, give me a piece of paper, give me some coffee, give me this, give me $20, all this kind of stuff. And it was just kind of
very demanding.
Yeah, becoming harassing. And so I wrote that out real small and put it over the top of the door, the edge of the door on the inside, and that, you know, whoever entered was covered in the blood of Jesus. And then a day or two later, he came. He opened the door, but he never came in the office. He never
walked.
And then he closed the door, because that when he opened it, I said, leave. And so he just closed the door and left. Well, also one of our clients that worked in another office up the street came, and he wouldn't come in. I mean, he was just like me and you, you would think, and because he was a businessman, and, he walked it to the door, opened it, said what he had to say, and closed the door and never came in the office.
Folks, don't laugh, but this is true.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I did. I learned about this one demon spirit they call him Bosie.
Mm-hmm. Boise.
And I said, Boise, what do you mean? How do you spell it? They said, B-O-S-E. I said, B-O-S-E? I said, wait a minute, I've got that's the name of a sound system, isn't it? I said, what's that mean? I punched it into Google, and believe me, they have a, Google that name. Apparently, it's a demonic spirit which affects electronical equipment.
That's our website.
There you go. And I'll tell you what I did is I'm actually on my desk as we speak right now. I have one of these little Bose stereos. It costs like $400, and you put an iPod in it. I bought it a number of years ago, and it's a great stereo. But I said, I don't want to throw that thing away. So I tell you what I did is I took one of these little label machines, and I wrote out, I apply the blood of Jesus Christ to this, and I claimed it back for the Lord.
Yay.
I put it on there, you know. I went out and got a laptop. It happened to be one of these Asus. Look, there's a cult everywhere, folks. Asus is a demonic occultic god. I didn't know it at the time. What can I do? I can't rip it off this thing, so I just put Jesus Christ as Lord on a sticker and stuck it over.
Yeah.
Claim it back.
Yeah. Well, see, we had learned about, now I had not heard of B-O-S-E, that you was talking about, but Boise and Boise, maybe just different spelling, B-O-I-S-E and B-O-Y-C-E, like Boise, Idaho?
Yes.
And we get a lot of email from people who, and it's just a short article. I don't even think it's an article. On our website, there's just said it in passing. It's at the top of our on our website, the first part is a bunch of talking, and then the index is at the bottom of it. But people will write and say, you know, my printer stopped working when I found your website, or my computer kept on crashing when I found your website, and then learned about Boise and Boise, commanded them to leave my equipment in the name of Jesus, and everything started working again.
Wow.
Get a
folks,
lot of email with just those two demons, Boise and Boise.
Folks, this is real stuff.
Yeah, and now if your printer still doesn't work after doing that, then you're, you know, it's broke. You know, everything is not caused by demons. But they definitely, our website has got thousands upon thousands, maybe a million, I don't know, names of demons on there. And I could probably only tell you a handful of what those demons actually do. Boise and Boise just happens to be two of them.
Now, we've talked about some different ways to do spiritual warfare. Oh, and before we jump to another thing, I meant to ask you about this, this technique of putting, you know, I cover anyone who comes to this doorway with the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You would put that over your doors. Would you need to put it over each window also?
We did, and we suggest that. Matter of fact, on our our number one number on our index is printed out, typed out, and you could just print it and tape it over there. Or, you know, if you're in an office environment, you can't put that up there. But if depending on your location and what you can and cannot do, you could maybe write it real tiny. You know, like if you got to go to office in the morning, and if it's you've even got a doorway, you know, you could do that. If you're in an apartment and there's a door frame around it or window frames, you could write on the very top, like if you was on a ladder looking down at the top of the door frame or window frame, you could write it on there. That way, you know, you ain't going to mess up the person's or the apartment's paint. Or
at my office, I wrote it out real small and put a piece of tape over the paper and taped it to the bottom of my desk where nobody could see it. That whoever entered this space or this area is covered in the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that kept a lot of people that didn't necessarily need to be there, that would troublemakers or some, you know, somewhat, those demons wouldn't come around.
See, now, nothing in spiritual warfare is 100%, you know, you can't say that, well, a demon will never enter your home if you have that. Well, but, you know, you can't say that. Again, getting back to the scripture, by his stripes we're healed, yet we get sick. We don't know why. Same thing with many things in deliverance. We don't know why and won't find out until we get to heaven, and then we won't care.
Absolutely. But if it can give you some relief, I'd say do it, folks.
Yeah.
You know, the more you know about warfare and the more active you are, you know, the demons don't want to hang around as much as they do someone who's totally ignorant to spiritual warfare altogether. Now, let me ask you a question. We were talking about getting up in the morning and so forth. What about at night? A lot of people say that they get attacked with something they describe as paralysis, where they can't move. What's going on there?
This one. I've heard frequent of this from people, mostly women, and has always been while they was in bed. If it's a sex demon, it's our article on
incubus
and succubus. But what happens is that, remind me, let me write it down, human, to remind you about, humans can do this too. A demon just freezes you. And now you're awake, your eyes are open, because you cannot move, you're paralyzed, just like you said. And this is something else that we learned when, you know, a false teaching for those that even teach anything on deliverance, they say demons cannot read your mind. Well, yes, they can. And how this was proven, and Wynn Worley was the first one, well, I learned this, and then it happened to me personally, so I know that they can read your mind. If you are frozen in your bed, sometimes they just do it just to torque you off, I guess.
Yes.
Sometimes they want to have sex with you. And if you just think, you can't speak because it gets paralyzed, but if you just think the name Jesus, that demon will leave and you'll be free. Free means
absolutely.
You'll be able to move. And this definitely works. Now, to the humans can do this. Anyone with the knowledge of how to transport themselves, astral projection is mostly what they call it. Witches do this a lot. A five-year-old that goes to a library could learn how to do this too. But a human can come into your room or wherever you're at, mostly it's your bedroom, and they can remain visible or invisible, their choice.
Wow.
And they could mess with you while you're sleeping or have sex with you, and they can get into your dreams. And when we first learned this, again, going back 20 years, and I believe we probably learned it from Wynn Worley. We had a lawyer, a female lawyer from California, call us up. We was in Mississippi, and she said that she had hired this gardener, did not know that the gardener was a Satanist. And at night, he would materialize in her bedroom.
Oh.
And I like use a term like on Star Trek when, you know, beam me up, Scotty.
Yes.
And the dude would just materialize. Well, this is what they can do, if they want to become visible to you. So what we had learned is to cut and burn the silver cord.
Okay, because to astral project means to actually separate what their soul from the body.
Well, they're, I don't...
Connected to the silver cord? What is that going on?
An easier way to say it is the person is sitting, the evil person or the person that's out on this little trip here is sitting at home in their lounge chair, and they say, I'm going to go take a visit to Shannon and see what he's up to. And then they just transport themselves. And, you know, they can, you know, like a fly on a wall or they can appear in front of you. So anyhow, so this guy kept popping in on her, and we had just learned about cutting silver cord. And
okay.
So sure enough, I mean, it was within days, she called us back and said, you ain't going to believe this. That guy popped into my room last night. I cut and burned his silver cord, and right before my eyes, he disappeared. The power
wow.
of something that's not even in the Bible, but yet it's a spiritual warfare.
I had heard that there was one case, I think, that was done, and somebody suspected that a person was astral projecting. So they cut the silver cord, and somebody dropped right out of the air and landed on the ground dead.
I mean,
it's possible to actually die if the silver cord is ever loosed. Is that what the word's talking about?
Yeah.
Unless the silver cord is ever broken?
Yeah.
Right now we do not, if anybody doing spiritual warfare tried to or wanted to put harm on somebody, that's doing witchcraft.
Yes.
Okay. When you cut the silver cord, whatever happens to that person is that's God's business.
Okay.
You know, if God wants to kill them, they're dead. When you break and return all evil, if they were sending sickness to you or death to you, you don't want them to die or get sick. You just don't want what they sent you. So God determines what he's going to do. I remember one time Pat Holiday was telling me, where I heard it on one of her tapes or something there, that she knew this witch. If you know the person that's sending witchcraft your way or whatever, evil, sending evil your way, if you know who it is, then you can mention them by name, but also include anybody else, because everybody on the evil side sends stuff to Christians.
Okay.
And Pat said that she broke and returned evil, and she returned to her 100-fold. And I believe it was the next day she found out that woman had dropped dead. Now, Pat wasn't trying to kill that woman, but God just decided that the witch was not going to repent and never come around to him, so he did what...
Well, let's just be real with it. The word says, suffer not a witch to live. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I just say, I bind any witchcraft attack against me, command to go back 1,000-fold in Jesus' name.
There you go.
And listen, folks, you know, they shouldn't have been messing with you to begin with. It's up to God what he does, but, you know, you don't have to sit there being attacked because some witches, you know, end up killing people.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to do spiritual defense. Now, when we're talking about astral projecting, what I've heard will happen is when these human spirits, you know, people who astral project, they can go out to about any location. They can come into your room. You wouldn't even know it. You could be asleep. And oftentimes what they'll do in believers, they'll go over and scan. And they'll look and see if you've got any, I guess they can see if you've got any sin gateways open so they can know how to go about attacking you and bringing you down.
Yeah, well, I...
The term scanning, is that what that means? Sometimes witches and warlocks will scan Christians?
They can do that. I wrote scan down on my paper here 15, 20 minutes ago to bring this up. I had heard of two witches in a grocery store, and one was more advanced than the other one. So the more powerful witch said to the other one, she says, "Watch this." And some guy was walking down the aisle towards them, and all of a sudden he just fell on the floor.
Wow.
It fell out. She scanned him, and when they scan you, now the demons make this possible, okay? See, I can't say that a demon goes into you to check you out or it's done. I nobody can explain, I don't think. But they scan you, and they know where you are with the Lord. Now, you don't have to have open doors. They just know where you are.
When
we're walking down the street, we'll have people growl at us, you know, because they know who we are in the Lord. And so they'll scan you, and then they put something on you. So, again, when you're going into the grocery store, it goes back to the binding. Before you go in there, bind up all them demons, and that is extra protection. So if somebody wants to scan you, you're not going to fall on the floor or do whatever they want you to, you know, trying to do to you. So, yeah,
they
do that stuff.
So I'm trying to learn here. So I want to go. Let's say I go into a restaurant, and I could just. Do I have to speak it or can I think it?
No, you can. I rarely pray out loud.
Okay.
And you know, when you're going into a store or something like that.
I bind all demonic spirits within the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you do something like that?
Well, no, because see, it doesn't have to be the sound of your voice, and the sound of your voice. If you looked at just that term, that would be. You know, somebody's back in the far corner. They can't hear your voice.
Okay.
Demons can hear.
I bind all demons in this building in Jesus' name.
That's what I said. I bind all demons in this place. I cover myself in this place with the blood of Jesus, and I ask for your angels to protect me.
Okay. Now back to the issue we were talking about at night. So sleep paralysis can be caused by demon. It could be a human spirit astral projecting. What about sexual attacks? We hear about incubus, succubus, and Asmodeus. What's going on there?
That article on our website, again, our index is in alphabetical order, and incubus and succubus number 67. If you listen to the wacko doctors, like if you did a search on it, the wacko doctors would just say, "Oh, come on, give me a break, right? Huh? That's just the person having dreams." But on the articles that are looked at the most. On our website, incubus and succubus is always way up there in the top 10 because it happens a lot. And the reason why it happens a lot is because nobody wants to talk about it. And again, this mostly happens with women with the ones I've been dealing with over the years, but it can happen to men. And, you know, if somebody was come up to you tomorrow and say, you know, "I don't want to really talk about this, but this really weird thing happened to me last night," the person you're talking to is going to think you're nuts. "Oh, you was just dreaming." But see, it's real. And it's quite a lengthy article. The material is from one or two other ministries and goes into detail and talks about it. If you think you got that, you need to cast that out. And usually, though, it's a demon on the outside. You know, it's like the human popping in on you. They pop in on you. Because, see, demons that torment you that are inside, they don't need to get outside to have sex with you.
Okay.
And the people that have written to me, I mean, they can feel the person laying on top of them just like it was a human. And it, again, going back to the silver cord, it could have been a human. So when you're involved in that, whether it's paralysis or the sexual thing, you do deliverance, you do spiritual warfare, and you also do the human side of it, which is cut and burn all ungodly silver cords.
How can you protect yourself to begin with? Let's say, you know, you're going to bed tonight and you want to have a peaceful rest. Now, I'm assuming the person is a Christian, and they've got any known sin under the blood, and they've repented, so there's not any known gateways that they know about. But let's just assume they went that far. What can you do to minimize your attacks?
Okay, I want to get back to you don't need a gateway.
Okay.
You don't have to sing. You don't have to open up no doors. Demons pretty much have free reign what they want to do, which is why, again, it's so important for daily self-deliverance and spiritual warfare. So anyhow, one of the prayers on our number one on our index there is a prayer, a short prayer to say before you go to bed. And, you know, I ask the Lord to forgive me of all my sins first, known or unknown.
Okay.
And that's how I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I ask for giant warrior angels to protect us through the night and through the day. I cover us with the blood of Jesus, and that pretty much covers it. I mean,
okay. In addition to that, let's just say there's some you've done that, and there's still some demonic spirits, let's say, in your house or apartment. Could I say, I bind all demonic spirits in my home, and I command you to leave now in Jesus' name, and they would have to go. Is that right?
Well, the first part is, yes, that's what you got to do. Just on a regular basis, you should command any demons to leave your home. I do it almost daily.
Okay.
But the other part is, no, they don't have to leave. Now, again, it goes back to, by his stripes we're healed. We don't know why we get sick. There's a song that we've all sung in church, in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee.
Yes.
Well, that's a nice song. Too bad it doesn't work all the time. Now, it does work most of the time. But why demons won't leave sometimes, we don't know. Other times, we do know why. You might have, one of our articles is house cleaning. Let's see here, house cleaning, number 64, house cleaning. There's objects in your home that might be harboring demons, and so that would give them legal grounds to be in your home.
Okay.
And unless you got rid of the object, that demon does not have to leave. Kind of like if they have legal grounds to be in you, they don't have to leave until you break the legal grounds. But you don't have to have legal grounds for them to stay. In other words, you can pick up demons walking down the street or in the grocery store or over the phone, like I said earlier. But if you have done something, then you've given them legal grounds, and unless that ground is broke, they don't have to leave. I'll give you a case, again, going back 23 years, we first got started, and we had this woman who was taken through her and her family through a lot of deliverance. We brought the subject up of, what's the name, like Zeus and
mythology.
And the demon reacted when we brought that subject up. Well, what we do a lot is we use a thesaurus, okay? It's the book with all the words in it. And,
yes.
And we looked up mythology, and I believe there were 70-some names listed under mythology. And we start casting out all those demons, and she had almost every single name that was listed in that book.
Good grief. Wow.
And that had to do something she was involved with years and years ago. She opened the door. She gave legal grounds for that mythology demons to be in her. And until the Lord just, I mean, it just, actually, he didn't reveal it. It just was one list of names that we cast out. And we was able to, you know, break the legal hold. And that same woman, we didn't know this, but the Lord revealed it to her as we was taking her through deliverance, that when she was 5 years old, she had been abused, sexually abused. Now, she didn't remember that until we was taking her through deliverance. Well, that was the Lord bringing that to her attention, because that opened up and gave legal grounds to demons that was causing her all kinds of problems. And so when that happened, then we took care of that and cast out all those demons.
Let me, we're jumping around purposely here, folks, as these topics come up. Listen, I probably need you on for like 100 shows to even scratch the surface. So if something comes to mind, I do want to try to cover. Let's talk about routing demons for a moment. How do you get these things to manifest? I know, because once they manifest and you get their name, it's a lot easier to cast them out. Is that right? So let's say someone is doing deliverance with a friend or a family member. The family member says, yeah, I believe I have a demonic spirit. Will you pray for me? How can you get this whole process kind of kick-started?
Well, first, you do not have to have a name. Now, Jesus spoke to Legion, so we know demons have names. The demon spoke to Jesus, so we know that demons can talk. Jesus spoke to Legion, so we know that it's okay to talk to demons. Now, we do not make it a habit to talk to demons, but sometimes they'll start the conversation.
Yes.
And so... And some ministries never use names. They don't believe in using names. They say, well, demons are liars. Well, I do believe that if you have a name, it does make it easier to come out. But if
yes.
you don't have a name, what is the symptom?
Okay.
Headache. My sinuses are running. I got a sharp pain in my side. I got this or like I got that. So you cast out the symptom. Now, when you don't know what it is or don't know what the symptom is, you just say something as simple as, in Jesus' name, I command a demon that's causing this pain in my eye to leave in Jesus' name. Now, if witchcraft is being done on you, this is one way you can recognize for sure whether it's a sudden witchcraft attack. Any sudden pain in your body, you know, you're just sitting there and all of a sudden you get a sharp pain in your side. You do warfare, delivers, you say, in Jesus' name, and we learned this from the same guy that taught us about circumcising your thoughts. Say you got a pain in your side down where your belt line is. You put your hand down there like you was pulling out a voodoo dart.
Okay.
Your fingers, and you just like you're pretending you're pulling it out of your body. And I say, in Jesus' name, I pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, witchcraft, voodoo, and anything else being sent my way. And then I'm throwing it out a doorway or the window, and I return it and the demon to the sender 100-fold, and I bind it to them by the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name. If it's witchcraft, that pain is going to go immediately. That's how you know it's witchcraft. If it doesn't go, it means, like me, my shoulder's sore right now because I was using a chainsaw the other day. So, again, everything's not caused by demons, but you can't go wrong by calling out the symptom and I command any demon involved. Like, there's usually more than one demon causing a problem.
What about, like, a person's having nervous twitch or they're having muscle spasms that just don't stop? Could that be an indicator if they might have a demon?
It could be. See, this is where you do deliverance just in case. Because if you say, oh, that's just a twitch, you know, my eye's twitching or my finger's twitching, you know, that's just, you know, everybody has that. Well, what if it is a demon and you don't do anything about it? That demon will get stronger and stronger and bring other demons in with him. So just to be safe, you say, in Jesus' name, I command this twitching demon to leave. Now,
Okay. We'll
have a twitch. It still could be the demon that did not leave, or it could just be a twitch. And but see, any situation that you have, any problem you have, whether it's health or being attacked financially or whatever, you always treat it as demonic first. So you do deliverance, you do spiritual warfare, you break and return all evil being sent your way. If it's a physical thing, you pray for miracles, you pray for healings. And then if you still got it, like a headache, well, then you take some aspirin or you go to the doctor.
So let's say a believer gets up in the morning or sometime during the day and they say, hey, I want to do some self-deliverance. Walk us through a sample prayer. Could it be as simple as saying, you know, I bind the strong man in me in Jesus' name and I command any demons inside of me to go in Jesus' name?
That's a little longer than I would say. You know, I am not one for long prayers. I just ain't, you know, I'm like the scripture in the Bible where the rich man was in there going on and on and on, and the poor guy said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I'm a short prayer guy. And so I just say, in Jesus' name, I command every demon in me to leave, in Jesus' name. Or I bind up every demon in me, put him in a cage, and command him to leave.
Okay.
That's, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going on longer, but to me, it's not necessary.
Where can we send demons as a person doing deliverance? Either on ourselves or on someone else. What are our options?
A couple of schools of thought here. One is that there's no reason to send them any place, and the reason is because in the Bible, Jesus says that when they're cast out, the demons go to dry places. What that is, I don't know. Don't care. That's what Jesus said. That's good enough for me. But because of teachings of other ministries, there's nothing wrong with sending them someplace. Some people send them to the foot of the cross. Well, I would have used that one because the cross ain't there no more, you know. I mean, that would be a physical cross.
How about sending them to Jesus, to Joseph before their time? I've heard that one. Or I command you to go where Jesus directs you to go.
Yeah, that's one that's used a lot. There's nothing. I don't believe there's anything you can say that's wrong as long as you're getting rid of demons. People say,
I heard one guy say, actually a couple, they say they've been doing some deliverance sessions and, you know, the demons being very stubborn and doesn't want to come out, and they're interrogating it, you know, what's your legal grounds to be there? They threaten. They say, we're going to send you to Tartarus. Now, I've heard a couple say that they don't like Tartarus for some reason.
Absolutely. We use that one sometimes.
So there seem to be some options there. I've used that a couple times. I heard one guy say he commanded a demon to go into this fish, and he's probably swimming around the bottom of Lake Erie right now.
Yeah, I don't know, but Jesus sent them to the pigs, and the pigs went into the water. For some reason, they don't like the water. So sometimes you can send them to the deep, which means
okay.
water. And they, I don't know. See, a demon's first choice is to inhabit a human being. And Jesus says that, that the demons call our body their house. That's in the Bible. The second choice is a warm-blooded animal. And the third choice is any inanimate object, whether it's your house or an object. Oh, object. See, I carried away. I start talking about cleaning house and how demons can be in your house and why they don't have to leave. You can have pictures in your house that, that you ought not to have. You can have music in your house that you ought not to have. One time we was having problems and we had to get rid of a leather Bible cover that we had in our closet because of where it came from. And so that's what house cleaning, a number of things that can cause this, that would keep the demons hanging around. People.
Anything with an attachment to the occult, it could be, folks, it could be a Buddha, it could be any kind of demonic god, it could be those little troll babies, owls.
Yeah, it's demonic now.
Indian artifacts. And that's what I was going to ask you. I heard that a lot of these Buddhas, you'll see people buy, they have a little hole drilled into them, and the demon goes through the hole. Is that necessary?
That's true. Now the ones that are mass-produced, you know, they're done by machines, and that thing is sealed up back there. But on these statues where they're made by hand, I guess you'd call it, or they're finished off by hand, there's a hole in the back there, and then they put a plug in there, and they insert demons just like years and years ago, and they might still be doing it. You may have heard about the back masking on, well, back then it was on the
records,
the big records, you know. And they inserted, they just command demons to go into the records or the music, now it's tapes and CDs and DVDs or movies on the TV, and they just put the demons in there. And then when you turn them on in your house, you've got demons in your house and causing you all kinds of problems.
Okay, can demons be attached to music, and when you play the music, you actually invoke those demons to be released in your atmosphere?
Yeah, we have one article on music on our website, and the main thing about music is anything with drums in it is bad, and that comes from, originally it comes from over in Africa. Well, I'll tell you this quick story about this, what I had heard, a rock and roll group got saved. This is a long time ago. They got saved, wild music. Maybe it was heavy metal. I don't know. And they got saved, and then somebody took them over to Africa to on a missionary trip, and they start playing Christian music. And the chief of the tribe or whatever where they was at, they made them stop. They said, wait a minute. You know, before we got saved, the African people, we used all these drums to drum up the demons. And now here you are up in front of us, and you're drumming up demons with the same kind of drums.
Wow.
So anything with drums on it, and any, I mean, a lot of Christian music, so-called Christian music, really you ought not be listening to. And if the main thing you, when it first starts out, the main thing you hear is drums, you want to get it out of your house.
People, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network. This is a live show we have on Stan and Elizabeth Madrek. Am I pronouncing that name, by the way, properly?
Yes.
Madrek?
Madrek.
DemonBuster.com. Let's get back to the conversation here. Okay, so I know music can be a gateway, also movies. You can have the eye gate, folks. Demons can come in through music you listen to. They can come in through pornography that you're viewing. Brother and sister, the Lord gave me a revelation today. And, I had heard that demons can come in through, you know, watching movies. You know, you watch Harry Potter. You know, that's witchcraft, folks. You're going to probably walk out of that theater with a demonic spirit. You watch Avatar, you're probably going to leave with a Kundalini demon that comes in through the Hindu religion. You watch the recent movie Inception, you might have walked out with a spirit of depression and suicide that might cause you to want to lay down on a railroad track like they showed in there. Listen, when I grew up, my father, he did not drink, did not smoke. He really did two things. He loved hunting, and he loved movies. So I was raised, you know, from a young age, we'd go to the theater all the time. And I've realized you've got to be very careful. You know, number one, most of these movies out there, folks, there's nothing redeeming at all about them. I'm not going to say you can go to hell if you go to the movies, because I go to the movies, but you have to be very careful. It came to me when I saw a movie recently. that you hear the term suspension of disbelief. Well, you know, that's what happens. You're going in there and you're watching, you know, this something's totally fictitious, okay? And you suspend relief. Well, anytime you surrender any control of your mind, you drop your defenses a little bit, that's an opportunity for a demon to come in. Am I right, brother?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you're watching a movie, you're already suspending belief. It could be just violence. Okay, you may leave there with a demonic spirit that came in through some violent act you watched. So you've got to be on guard. It's like jumping into a swimming pool that they've never put chlorine in. Just by virtue of the fact you swim in, you're going to come in contact with bacteria and go home, be infected. We've got to be very careful. We've got to have our guards up.
And along those lines, something that even more, what I'd say, sinister, is the children's cartoons on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Everything you watch has got some form of witchcraft in it. And you can pick up demons from there. The kids can pick up demons. Again, it goes back to why daily deliverance, daily warfare is so important.